Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth is back with us, and we're finally going to get to the point where votes are going to be cast in the 2024 presidential election, as we have the Iowa caucuses right upon us. Scott, good to have you here.
Well, it's great to be back, Loman. Thank you for having me.
The Iowa caucuses, Scott, very proudly, Iowans are the first in the nation to cast votes. But if you look back at history over the last 20 years, has Iowa really been a bellwether when it comes to identifying who the ultimate Republican nominee is going to be?
Iowa has a caucus, not a primary. So the first in the nation primary is going to be a little bit later on January 23rd in New Hampshire. And so this caucus on January 15th is a process where they're really trying to get committed delegates to show up and caucus for a specific candidate. And when you look at the history, you've got 2008 when Mike Huckabee won. You've got 2012 when Mitt Romney lost a very, very close race by just a couple of votes to Rick Santorum. And then Donald Trump lost to Ted Cruz in 2016. And we all know how that turned out for Ted Cruz. So, of course, Donald Trump ran the table and was really, really competitive in the primary states. So the Iowa caucus obviously gets a lot of attention because it really kicks off that presidential nominating process, but it hasn't been a big, big indicator of who ultimately the Republican nominee is going to be. The exception I think you would point to is George W. Bush in 2000. A president has won the Iowa caucuses in their reelection fight with George W. Bush in 2004 and Donald Trump in 2020. But it is interesting to kind of see how those other dynamics play into this when it comes to the caucus system. Ron DeSantis has been working incredibly hard in Iowa to have a strong showing, but the polling shows that Donald Trump is still way up. And I think that the expectation is that Trump is going to win, and it's a fight for second place between Donald Trump and Nikki Haley. Ramaswamy is not doing well in Iowa, but he's hoping, I think, for a third place finish in New Hampshire.
As we look at the votes that are going to take place in Iowa, Donald Trump polling right now at or above 50% here. So maybe that string of Iowa winners not ending up being the nominee will come to an end, although we're a long way from the July Republican National Convention. In terms of Ron DeSantis here, Scott, is this a case of where he needs at least a strong second place finish in order to continue?
I would leave it up to the DeSantis campaign to say really what they need in order to continue. I think that there's obviously been some media reports that talk about the future of his campaign and obviously how much money they've got, cash on hand, how they're comparing against Nikki Haley in sort of this fight for second place. I think the bottom line is it's similar to 2016 insofar that candidates are having a hard time navigating Trumpism. But the difference here in 2024 is Donald Trump was the 45th president of the United States. And that gave him a huge, huge advantage in terms of the Trump base that never left him. They feel like he got screwed over when it came to the 2020 election results. They feel like he's a much stronger leader than Joe Biden. And a lot of people just want to see that rematch. So I think it's interesting. I think it's a real opportunity for Donald Trump to solidify support with a big, big win and head into New Hampshire and then down into South Carolina with a sweep.
Speaking of New Hampshire, that primary, as you referenced, coming up here in a little over a week. Nikki Haley, however, seems to be in second place in New Hampshire and somewhat competitive with the former president. And then we go to South Carolina, her home state. So after Iowa, does the calendar start to favor Nikki Haley a bit?
A great question. This week, we also had Chris Christie drop out of the race. And Chris Christie was caught on a hot mic before his announcement that he was dropping out, and he basically trashed Nikki Haley, saying she wasn't ready to do this and, you know, had no shot against Donald Trump. Nikki Haley obviously is polling well in New Hampshire. And then when you think about the next race on the Republican primary calendar, obviously, heading down into her home state of South Carolina is going to be a really, really important thing for her campaign. But gets back to the bottom line here, campaigns at the presidential level are incredibly expensive. And I think that the Nikki Haley campaign has spent over $70 million. It's the same thing with the Ron DeSantis campaign. And some of these other campaigns simply ran out of money. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy has some independent wealth, and he can decide for himself how long he really wants to stay into the race. But it's still like when you're playing poker and whether or not you're pot committed to the chips on the table or if you're going to fold your cards. And I think at this point, Chris Christie decided to hang it up, running out of money and running out of political juice, knowing that he wasn't going to finish well in Iowa and not within the top two in New Hampshire. So it is interesting that folks have dropped out so much prior to any votes being cast. But I think it gets back to really the high cost of presidential politics and how much energy and effort that these folks put into place. Now, as we get through South Carolina and we move on to other states, a big, big date is going to be March 5th. If there are candidates still on the ballot, that's when Super Tuesday is. And I think that we'll know probably by March 7th who the Republican nominee is going to be. My prediction is that it's probably going to be Donald Trump, just given his polling advantage at this point. But there's a lot of people out there that are ready to cast their ballot, make their voice heard, and whether that's for Donald Trump or another candidate, it's all a part of our constitutional republic as we go through the nominating process to select a Republican to fight back and defeat Joe Biden in 2024.
Well, the process just getting underway, although it may be settled sooner rather than later. At least the signs are pointing in that direction. However, it gets decided quickly or not, we will keep track of all the major developments with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, as always, a few words, please, about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. It's united in this idea of economic freedom, liberty, opportunity, and ultimately growth. If you want to check us out, the website is clubforgrowth.org. You can actually sign up and be a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Thank you, Scott. We'll check in with you next week after the votes are counted. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.